Welcome to the Unrest Podcast. I'm Caitlin Stansel.
And I'm Madeline Green. If you haven't already subscribed to the Unrest Podcast, please do so wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And also be on the lookout because we have something really fun that we are going to be sharing with you guys very soon. We have made a little mascot for our podcast.
Yes.
And we're going to need y'all's help naming him or her.
That's true. Him or her. We need some names for our little mascot, and you will be getting some free goodies in return if you tell us a name that we like. But if you tell us a name we don't like, then you won't get anything.
So sad. But we're really excited about this. And it's been, you know, a couple months we've been working on it and designing it. We just think it's so cute, and we're just really excited to share it with you all. So stay tuned.
Tell us a little bit about today's real life haunt.
Ooh, I really like this one. So I talked to Maria all about two experiences she had in her grandma's house. And, you know, this is a house that she said she has always gotten this sense that it's haunted. One ghost that she met was actually her grandma's father. She didn't know it at the time, but it's just kind of a really interesting way to get to know some of the family relations. So take a listen.
Well, it definitely runs in our family. You can develop it if you want to, because it's family to family. It's passed down to family. And there are different ways you can develop it, either through dreams, through cards. For me, it started with dreams since I was little. I remember my first encounter was when I was 5. And, you know, my grandma's very open in those terms. But I wasn't really aware of what was going on in terms of like, oh, it was just a thing that I saw. My first experience was actually an animal. It was a dog. And I said to my grandma, oh, you know, the dog there. And my grandma's like, there's no dog there. And I said, oh, yeah, there was a dog outside, blah, blah. And there was our old, because we're in Mexico, our dogs, our pets and our animals, they're outside. They're never inside. So it was an old dog, and he still had the collar and everything and the name and the collar. And I played with that dog. And I told my grandma, oh, that dog comes here once in a while. My grandma's like, oh, what's the name of the dog? Blah, blah. So that's kind of like how it goes in my, I guess, family. So a little bit of background. Our family is matriarchal. So the one who makes decisions is my grandmother. We called her, and this is a little bit of context in our story and it will make sense. We actually call her Jefa, which means the boss. And she took that position since my grandfather passed away, and she was widowed with 6 children. And she had 3 businesses and stuff and this huge house. And in our family, nuclear family, everybody usually stays in that house. Even if you're grown up and you're an adult, you still live in that house until you either get married. It's very rare for you to go outside and have an own apartment alone and stuff. So I guess my mom was a young mom. This was the 90s, and this is going to give away my age. She has a lot of parties and stuff, and she would bring a lot of friends, and it was always parties outside of my grandma's house. So it's kind of like the dynamic how it was in my grandma. As long as you didn't go outside and, you know, with my mom go clubbing and stuff, as long as you, I guess, stayed inside. And so, yeah, that's kind of like, I guess, a little bit of background and context of my story. My grandma used to let my mom and my uncles and aunts have parties outside of the house. So it was one of those nights. It was a weekend, and they partied, and they had a stereo. And you would put CDs on the stereo, and it was just loud music. And I would sleep with my grandma in her room. And I remember I had a dog, her name was Lassie. So I would, since dogs weren't allowed inside of the house, they were only outside, I used to sometimes sneak my dog inside because my dog was actually scared of fireworks and like strangers and stuff. So I was around, I want to say 10 or 12, and I remember waking up and there was still loud music outside, but I saw my mom sleep. It was a big bed. It was my grandma, me, my sister, and my mom, right? So I saw my mom next to the bed, but there was still music outside. You can hear it. And I said, oh, this is my time for me to sneak out and get Lassie inside of my house. Mm-hmm. So I step outside of the living room, and you can see from the living room, there's a huge kitchen, a hall that leads to the kitchen. And I see a man coming towards the living room, so I turn on the light. He was very confused. Like, he was looking all around and just kind of, I guess, studying his surroundings. And since my mom has a lot of friends, to be honest, this wasn't new that they were kind of like, because this is a big house. It had, honestly, in total, had like 6 or 7 rooms. So I said, hola, like, hi, like, normal. And he just looked at me and he studied me and he's like, Fabiola, like, confused. But Fabiola is my aunt who, I guess at that time, she was in her 20s. And I was so confused because I was young and I was 10. And I was like, no, I'm not Fabiola, I said. And then he said my mother's name. And I giggled and I said, no, I'm her daughter. And I said, in Spanish, I said, if you're looking for everybody, I think they're outside, but you can go through that door. My mom's already asleep. And he just looks at me and he says, what do you mean you're her daughter? And I just looked at him up and down and I said, who are you? And he looked at me and he's like, oh, my name is Patricio, which at that time I didn't know it was my great grandfather. And so he said, the house has changed. And I said, yeah, the house has changed. Oh, we did this and we're going to put a Christmas tree there. I don't know why I felt so familiar, like if I knew him for a long time, right? He laughed and he asked, so who else had kids? And I said, oh, my tío Martín had 2 kids and blah, blah. And he started laughing like it was the funniest thing ever. And then he looked at me and he's like, you're beautiful. And I said, oh, but we're 2. We're actually, because I'm a twin. I said, we're 2. I was named after my grandma and my sister was named after my mom. And then he said, is your grandma still here? And I said, yeah, but she's asleep. Honestly, you really want to go through that door. He looked at me. I get super emotional. He looked at me and he said, no, I think I have to go now. And then he just looked at me and he's like, it was so nice meeting you. And then I said, oh, it was nice meeting you too. And so I guess in like a split minute, I hear the squeaking of the door open of my grandma. And so it was actually my grandma getting up. She knew that I was up trying to get the dog inside of the house. I saw the man go into the corridor, like leading towards the kitchen. And I kind of like, I turn and then I turn to my grandma. And my grandma's like, Huerca, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? It's super late at night or whatever. And I said, oh, grandma, there's a man over there. And I think he's lost. When I said that, my grandma automatically grabbed me and kind of like pushed me on back of her. And I said, and she said, everybody's asleep. What do you mean? And I said, yeah, he went over there, but I think he's lost. And then my grandma's like, stay on back of me. She didn't say anything. She was super, she was a big lady. She was a 6'1" lady. So she walks towards the kitchen corridor and she turns on the lights. and we checked the door, and the door usually had the big master lock. And she turns around and she says, "Are you sure you saw him?" And I said, "Yes, he went this way." And so she goes to the next door that leads towards the front. And she turns, I go outside and she turns off the stereo. And she goes and she checks everything. She literally, like, we go towards the whole yard to check if there's anybody there. And then we go inside and she says, "What did you see? Who did you speak to?" I said, "Oh, well, he was a tall man. He had kind of, you know, grayish hair. He had, you know, cargo pants. He had a gray shirt. And he says his name was Patricio." When my grandma heard this, she really was trying to hold her tears. And she said, "Okay, let's go to bed now." So we go to bed, and then the next day, she was very sentimental. And she said, "Can you give me that album that's over there, up there?" And I said, "Yeah." So I climb and give her the album, and she opened the album, and she says, "Was this the man you saw last night?" And I said, "Yeah, he's that man." And I said, "Yes, it was him. And she just stares. And she says, she starts crying. And I didn't know, I thought I did something wrong. And she says, "That was my dad, and yesterday was his birthday. I met my great-grandfather accidentally." Honestly, head to toe, he seemed normal, like a regular person. I can't say, like, oh, something strange or without color. No, but what it was weird for me, later on in my life, I asked my grandma, I kind of didn't want to touch the subject until a little bit later. And we kind of touched the subject, went back, and I told my grandma, "Hey, how come he said the house has changed a lot?" And she says, "Oh, because where you were standing, there were stairs that led to the second, because it's a second story house. And that room, which is now half studio, I guess, didn't exist." And then she said, "We had different tiles as well in the corridor." And she says, it looked really different. It looked really 80s in style. And I said, "Oh, okay." And she said, "Can you tell me what else did you see?" And I said, "He had his hands in his pocket. And when he was talking to me, I remember vividly, like, he had big hands, he was tall. One of his hands kind of like, oh, you know, when you put your hair to the side," mm-hmm. "he was always doing that. And my grandma used to say that, you know, he had a tic of doing that too. He had a tic of putting his hands in his pocket and just having the hand, like, touching his hairs to the back and stuff. It didn't seem unreal. It just seemed that, I guess, he accidentally came into our plane and I just happened to accidentally run into him. Like I said, my family was a party family. They always had events. They always had something going on. Our tradition, I don't know if any other Mexican family does that, but you have to say, literally, when you come in to any house, you have to say hi to everybody. So when I would sleep with my grandma, I didn't really have a room. I was, like, little. And my twin also used to sleep with me, sleep next to me. And so usually in parties, I was pretty accustomed to, usually in parties, that my uncles or my aunts would knock on the door and would say, "Ma, someone's here to see you. Someone's here to say hi to you," and blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of like custom that we would see a lot of people kind of giving their respects to my grandmother because she's the owner of the house. And me and my sister would always see this man. And I remember him having, like, a cowboy hat, a white button-up shirt, and jeans. And like I said, we were sleeping next to my grandma, and he would crouch and call her jefa. which that was a sign for me that he knew her. And the conversations were like, I can see that you're very tired and I'm very concerned, or kind of like that, kind of those kind of conversations. And my grandma would answer, but my grandma was still not necessarily asleep. Like, I couldn't see. So she was like on her back facing him, but on her back on the bed. And she would say, I'm okay, I'm fine. She would always repeat the same thing. And it would go on for sometimes either every Saturday or every Thursday, which usually my family would like party and stuff. But there was this instance where my sister and I were super annoyed because there was not only loud music outside, he came inside and we were having like a full one-to-one conversation. And I don't know why, I just felt very annoyed. And I woke my sister up and he saw me. I saw him, but he didn't address us. He literally saw us and continued speaking to my grandmother about my grandmother. He said, I can take you. If you tell me, just tell me and I can take you. Whenever you're ready, I can take you. And my grandma would say, no, I'm not ready yet. It's not time. It's not time. I'm not ready. Blah, blah, blah. They were having this conversation. So he stood up, I remember, and he saw us. And you know how, I don't know if people do this here, but like to say hi, they grab their cowboy hat and they're just kind of like, and he goes out towards the door, right? But when I noticed, so my grandma would leave like half, she wouldn't close the door completely sometimes because it made a noise, it made a squeaky noise. So he went through that door like nothing. And he was big. I mean, he was like, well, of course I was little, so I don't know how tall he was, but I remember he was big and he just went through the door. Like, I swear, like nothing. And there's where me and my sister got super scared. And we brought it up the next morning. And I told my grandma, hey, like, who is that man that always comes and speaks to you? And she's like, what do you mean? And I said, yes, there is this man that comes into your room and talks to you. And she says, when was this? And I said, last night. And my sister kind of like goes, vouches for me and says, yes, he was crouched down. He says he wanted to take you, blah, blah, blah. And we don't know who he is. And my grandma said, I don't know who you two are talking about. All this entire time I've been asleep. And she started asking questions. How many times has he come? And I said, well, sometimes. And what does he talk about? And we start saying, well, sometimes he talks about this. Sometimes he talks about that. But we could never figure out who was that man. Because, you know, my grandma was trying to think. And she says, there's nobody with that description that you tell me. I do not remember any kind of conversation having with anybody. I was super scared, to be honest. I was super scared. And I would tell my grandma, oh, no, abuelita, I want to go to sleep with my cousins, my other cousins and primos. I want to sleep in the room, which they had their second floor or whatever. My sister was like, no, I want to sleep here with my grandma, whatever. The next morning, my sister says, hey, I think he came in this time. And I think my grandma, you know, noticed him. But she was, and I said, was she awake? And my sister says, I think so. I think she was awake, but I don't want to ask her. I'm scared. And I said, okay, well, tonight I'll sleep there. And every night when we would like sleep with my grandma, she was really religious. So we would like go to like the prayer and everything. Then when she finished, I said, well, what if he comes tonight? And my grandma said, well, if he comes tonight, I will politely ask him to leave. And so we go to sleep and I wake up because I was having the little thrill of catching him, you know, I'm a kid. And we notice him coming in and I literally cannot breathe. I do not breathe. I don't know why it was hard for me to catch my breath. And my grandma is full awake and she says, I don't know who you are, but I think you need to leave. I'm very happy here. If you don't know the door, I will show you to the door. And he just says, la quiero mucho, jefa, which means I love you, boss. But my grandma has no idea who this man is, like, no idea. And my grandma kind of, like, I want to say kind of goes, like, leans up, and the man just not bolts or anything, kind of, there's where I noticed the speed of the man. Mm-hmm. Kind of, he goes really quick, and he, like, I really wanted to go up. And my grandma turns around, and she says, you two stay here. And my grandma follows the entity to the door. She says that when that happens, you're supposed to say, you are not welcome here. This is my house. You're never welcome here. You're not supposed to welcome anything that you do not know. So, yeah, my grandma says that it's probably a passing spirit that just wanted to take my grandma away. It was like I said, the lights were off, but it was a man with a cowboy hat and buttoned up shirt, kind of like Levi jeans, big hands, dark hair. He had a very predominant nose, like a big nose, I guess. But I did notice, and this is summer. We in Mexico, we don't have like central air like here in the U.S. So we use either the fans or open up the windows and stuff. But I remember noticing the temperature of the room change, the coolness, your hairs stand up. Like, it's, how can I say this? It's an instinct that you have, but you've never noticed that you've had. You know that it is not supposed to be there, but you cannot explain why you're feeling the way that you're feeling. But it can make you dizzy, and you know, depending on the entity, of course, you know how either strong it is, or you know how it's not an entity of your elders, because we have el Día de los Muertos, so we respect our elders, we respect our ancestors, and you know, I don't know how to describe, inside of you, you know that he is not part of your family tree. You know, when you see it, you know. Not all entities are good entities. I don't want anybody to, just because, oh, it's an aesthetic or it's a trend or something, to seek out, you know, oh, how can I make this stronger? How can I? No, don't do that. Because you need professional. And when I mean professional, I mean people. If you want to go, obviously, into that route, or, you know, people that can help you and they can guide you. But that's going to take years. Years, 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 years. And you need to have the confidence of saying, okay, sometimes there's going to be dark things that are going to happen, and I need to get out of this, and I need to know smart ways of getting out of probably inviting an unwanted entity. If you have that kind of guidance, if you do not have that kind of guidance, or familiar guidance or ancestors, I would recommend to just try to stay away from the TikTok trends, from this, from that, because it can do more harm than good. If you're seeing things, listen to your gut. Listen to it. It is correct. It is right. Do not hesitate. If you feel like you want to run, and if it's not good, do it. Run. Uninvited. Don't invite anything in your door. When you're practicing things like that, don't invite anything to your house. Have a special place, have a special, you know, a place that you go and you do stuff. Don't do it in your house. And just protect, I guess, your surroundings, because you're going to live in that live space. And if you encounter a familiar or an elder, give respects first, because, you know, he is entering your space for a reason and giving you advice for a reason. So give him the respect he or she or it deserves. And when you give the respects that entity deserves, also lead him towards you know, feed him, hey, reminder, you're on this plane for a little bit, and this is the path of light. You can follow this path to find your way again to wherever you were. Because things can linger around, and you don't, it's not necessarily a good thing. So the way you open things, you also need to take precautions of how to close things.
You know, Maria shared that her and her twin sister had been staying with her grandma in this room when they started seeing this strange man appear and have these conversations with her grandma. What I love about it is that this is not how I would have handled this experience. Maria and her sister seem to be so like composed about it. And, you know, just the way she described it seems like they were really accepting of what was happening. And, you know, there might have been
like, nonchalant, like, okay, this is happening.
There might have been some fear underlying it all. But I think that if it was me, I ain't never going back in that room. I'm never back in that house. See you later. But I think her grandma, like, also just being really open to this sort of thing kind of helped walk them through this experience a little bit.
Right. And also, you know, in like Mexican culture, death is seen kind of a lot. I mean, not a lot different, but it's almost,
it's more celebrated in a sense that you sort of reach this next phase of life, quote unquote.
Right. My one of my best friends, Madison, she has a daughter, and we watched Coco, which is a Disney movie about Dia de los Muertos. And it's just, it's a really good movie, but it really encompasses kind of what I feel like their tradition is with the dead.
Yeah. Just a more appreciation of the dead and sort of like the relationships you had with them when they were alive, and, you know, sort of still like a loving sense around them being near. Thank you so much, Maria, for sharing your stories. We loved hearing about your grandma's haunted house.
And if you have a story that you feel like our listeners need to hear, we want to hear those stories. So send them to theunrestpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Facebook, join our page, or hey, hop on in our Facebook group where we have a lot of unique content we'd like to share there, some interactive stuff. And we're on TikTok and trying to get going on YouTube. So just join us wherever you can, whatever platform you find us on, we'll be there. But until next time,
unrest in peace.